T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Maureen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Happy Friday morning. Lawrence Holmes is in for Molly this morning, and I'd like to introduce Lawrence to radio. New guy trying out the morning shift.
Just trying to make it in this business, David. That's what I'm here trying
to do. Good
morning,
Lawrence.
David, it's good to see you. I'm excited to be on in mornings, because the strange thing is, because I just realized it a couple days ago, that I've been doing the night show for like 10 years. Like, it's been 10 years since I started doing the night show. I'm actually a morning person.
You are actually a morning person.
Yes.
Doing the night show. Well, that's good, because I'm adjusting to being a morning person. I wouldn't necessarily call a career sports writer a morning person.
No.
It's an adjustment.
You guys are the exact opposite of that. Mm-hmm. And you're like extra early in the morning now.
Yeah. This is it's not exactly like you know, getting up and rolling out of bed at 7 and, you know, getting the paper and getting your coffee. No, you got to get up. Get early. But it's good to have you here. We're going to, you know, I'm going to tap into your expertise a little. It is a little bit odd, I will say, to you are the radio guy. Mm-hmm. And you're coming in here, you know, kind of, and I'm find myself explaining to you, well, you know, this, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. I'm like, he's the radio guy. I don't have to explain anything to you.
No, I don't know how this show
just
works.
Just the mechanics, you know, just a few things here or there. But yeah, you do. You know how everything works around here.
No, that's not true. I mean, I've never. Well, that's not true either. Actually, Dustin and I actually came up together.
I heard. Yeah. I've heard that story.
Dustin and I have known each other for a really long
time. And that was on the desk of
Dave Aurelio, Lawrence, me, and Dave Aurelio from the famous Aurelio Pizza family. He used to make really great
in what
parody
context
songs.
Was that
he was a musician.
We worked on the old Sports Huddle show.
Okay.
Back on WMAQ. So like Chris Cross and Steve Olkin, Tom Green. Hey, I'm over there. I'm over here. I'm over there. So that was an experience.
Kanellis was the sports director.
And Joniak was doing
afternoons on MAQ. And Josh Liss had just started, had just replaced Red Motlow.
That's quite a crew.
Yeah. And Josh Liss.
That's quite
Liss, a crew. I don't know if you remember it this way, but Josh Liss was like, oh my God, we've got this young guy who's just incredible, and none of you all are going to be able to live up to Josh Liss. And it was like,
right,
oh, yeah, man.
I would like to make a suggestion then, knowing this, remembering this about Dustin and his connection to you. I think that Dustin should be a future guest on the House of L podcast.
I'd be down to talk to Dustin, because he's got a lot of stories from, what, sporting news and from around the country that I would like to tap into.
Not to put you on the spot or anything.
I would
be a must listen.
The only problem with Dustin is I don't know if House of L can take all the hotness of his takes. I mean, if I turn the microphone over to Dustin for an hour, I feel like the podcast is just going to melt, because he's going to go off on a tangent about something.
There'll be something.
And it's going to be super hot.
There'll be something. Speaking of hot takes, so we're going to talk about a lot of things Bears-related, Bears-Lions on Sunday at Soldier Field. But last night, Lawrence, Blackhawks was the beginning of the Jeremy Culleton era. Did not go as well as expected. The Hawks fell behind 4-0. They end up losing 4-3. Patrick Kane had a goal and assist, 11 shot attempts. The first game without Joel Quenneville since the firing on Tuesday. They did not introduce the coach. I thought that was significant, without acknowledging the fact that you were beginning a new era. I think it was probably by design. You did not want to expose your 33-year-old appointed new head coach replacing a legend to booze. And they didn't do that. We haven't heard from you as far as what you thought about the whole Quenneville thing. What did you think about the whole process?
Well, I was hoping that I could pick you guys' brain on this, because I talked to the afternoon show about this in transition. I felt like it was met with a meh, and it happened during you all's show. So I don't know if
8:15, we're right here. Wani was in here with us on Tuesday.
I was walking around the house, you know, and he just like gets started with the day, and you look, you're like, oh, Quenneville's been fired. Like, that's weird. And what I noticed on my show, I was talking with McNeil and Parkins about this too. It was just kind of like, oh, and perhaps that was by design.
Mm-hmm.
It being election day, when the news comes out, people have other things that are on their mind. But I was surprised that there wasn't a real like uproar of Blackhawks fans. I think it's because Blackhawks fans understood the situation where maybe the players have started to tune him out. Perhaps there was a problem that was going on between Bowman, even though the lady doth protest too much on that, Bowman and Q. And people just said, okay, we get it. Someone had to go and it wasn't going to be the general manager. But in what scenario do you have a legendary coach,
mm-hmm.
a championship coach, go and the general manager stay and people are like, all right, yeah, that makes sense. It's a weird phenomenon.
It is a little bit, but I think that's also a product of hockey. As popular as the Hawks have become in Chicago, and I think as much as they have carved out their corner, you know, because of their three cups since 2010, there's still a niche element to the fan base.
You agreed.
Know? And I think that the uproar that you may or may not have heard is probably a product of it. There's a lot of noise going on right now in Chicago. There's the Bears, there's the Cubs, whatever they're doing.
Weird.
It's a very strange offseason for them, and we'll get to that.
Can I just say that in that same vein, I thought it was really strange. I felt it was very telling that the White Sox were like, oh, and Rick Renteria gets an extra year.
Yeah, by the way, yeah. It's been a strange week.
Why would you do that?
It's been sort of like bizarro Chicago sports world. You've got the Cubs with a World Series winning manager who's entering next season as a lame duck. You've got the Blackhawks who are firing a guy as a coach who won three cups. And you have the White Sox quietly extending the contract of a manager who's presided over, 195 losses in the last 2 years? And you have the Bulls being the Bulls. So
Texter, I think, gets it right. Thanks, 815 Texter. It was kind of like when Lovey was fired. We hate it, but we get it. I think that's a fair way to look at this. It was just strange to me. I was expecting, I don't know if I was expecting, you know, pitchforks and torches, but I was expecting there to be a more emotional response.
That was
to
my
it.
Response. I'll be honest with you. You know how professional you keep a distance if you can, as much as you can. And I'm not a fan of any team specifically, but I've been around the Hawks a lot, and I do love hockey. And when we were sitting here with Dave Wannstedt and the news came in, it was as if I did feel that like visceral, oh, you got to be kidding me.
Okay, so you felt
like,
it.
I was like, they fired the wrong guy, and I said that. And I feel like you could defend that argument, right?
I think you can totally defend that argument.
That was my first reaction. And then, you know,
the Panarin trade alone.
Sure, there are a couple trades, there are a couple things. But I think that as time goes on, I've come around to where a lot of the fan base has come around. You know, I get it. I mean, I get it. They're not going places. They're not really – it's been a long time. You know, he's been here a long time. He may have deserved better. They could have handled the process better. Goodbyes are difficult in pro sports.
I would have preferred that they would have had separate, like, things. Like, I felt like he deserved his own thing. Yes, we are saying goodbye to him. Let's do it respectfully. And then let's introduce this new guy and let him, you know, live on his own and try to figure it out. But it's going to be interesting. Now, maybe, and I had a couple people bring this up to me on my show and say, perhaps this is them getting their really smart young coach that is going to take them into the next era of hockey, so that it's them getting their Rams vision.
Hockey McVay.
Sure. Let's say that he's hockey Sean McVay. I don't know that to be the case. I don't know if there is such a thing, but maybe they get a jump start on that. But if you ask most Hawks fans which one of the guys should have stayed, I think most people would have agreed with you that the coach should have stayed and the general manager should have gone.
He's Lawrence Holmes. He's in for Mike Mulligan this morning on Mully and Hawes on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Coming up, we will do our live at 5. We'll get to a lot of different topics. Cubs, Bears with the Lions this weekend. What's Theo Epstein doing with leaving his pitching coach kind of in limbo, and also Notre Dame and Northwestern stuff. Live at 5 next on Mully and Haw.
What did Vic Fangio have to gain by admitting Khalil Mack wasn't where we need him to be for Sunday's Lions game? And what do you expect from Mack?
I think that was more gamesmanship by Vic. I liked what he had to say. I don't know what coaches gain from being vague in terms of injuries and availability, but they like to do it. They like to continue to be vague. And Vic Fangio saying he's not where they need him to be, but he could be okay, kind of leaves a question mark rather than saying, you know, giving anybody any sort of ammunition, I suppose. I think that stuff's overrated. I liked, though, what I heard from Vic Fangio and the rest of the Bears coordinators yesterday, Lawrence, because it was more about almost accountability. It was like there wasn't much complacency you heard. I thought you heard Vic Fangio talk about Roquan Smith after 13 tackles, saying he needs to be better. He needs to be better in pass coverage. He needs to be better overall. Mark Helfrich was talking about Jordan Howard, saying, you know what, sometimes he needs to finish runs more than he finishes runs. He needs to be that power back and establish that sort of identity. And Vic Fangio probably was along the same lines. They must have had an emphasis on accountability, or they wanted to make sure that everybody realizes that this is a new step, a big step in their schedule, playing the Lions, getting into the division. So I'm not sure it was anything more than gamesmanship, but I did like the rhetoric you heard from the podium yesterday at Halas.
I like the coordinators as well, and I think that Mark Helfrich is the most interesting guy at Halas Hall. I listen to the Bears do this now, and it's a fun little tip if you're a big Bears fan. If you listen to podcasts, the Bears now podcast all of the podium stuff each week, and I think it's under Bears Interviews where they podcast it. It's a great, great tool for us, but obviously for fans too. And every week I make a point to listen to Mark Helfrich because I think that he's not afraid to, as you said, kind of talk about the players in a more honest way.
He'll tweak them.
Yeah, he's not bus tossing them by any means, but I think that he's being more fair than you would hear a lot of coaches. I was concerned, honestly, with what I heard on Sunday from Nagy, and I'm sitting there, and I joked with Lance about this on Tuesday, that it sounded like that Mack wasn't quite ready to play yet this week, and I'm sitting there like, are they playing? Are they doing the thing
right
where they want to make the Lions spend extra time watching tape of the Bears when they don't have Khalil Mack?
Get ready for Isaiah Irving.
Yeah, you got to make sure you're ready for that. But I will say that it's important that they realize that the quarterback that they're playing this week is not the quarterback that they played last week. And I know he got sacked 10 times and he got hit a whole bunch last week, but that's a guy that can make a play that has you drop your jaw. So you better be prepared if you're the Bears for that.
Yeah, I didn't read too much into Fangio's response. I just simply thought he was answering the question. I thought it was obvious he wasn't there, because you just flip on the tape of that New England game, and he was not there then. So the big question to me is it a high ankle? Some people have suggested that. So if it is a high ankle, he's not going to be 100%. I know you're not going to be 100% during a football season, but he's not going to be close to it just sitting a couple of weeks now. So that plays into the production. And also, looking past this week, so if he's not all the way there right now, right around the corner, 85, 86 hours, you're going to have two NFC North games. So may not affect this week, but it could in the coming weeks against Minnesota and Detroit once again. But what I'm expecting is I do think he'll be a force against a weaker offensive line. We know about the 10 sacks last week, but it's on average about 3 a game. I think he's going to have an impact, and he's going to have at least one sack, a sack and a half, and Detroit's going to be worried about him a bunch.
You know, I would say that there would be some sort of rust from missing a couple of games, but this is a guy who came into training camp essentially without a training camp. He just kind of walked into the team after the trade, beginning of the season, just dominated straight from the jump. So I don't think there's going to be any rust on a player like Khalil Mack when you're at that level, just so high above almost everybody else at that position in the league. It's not going to matter if you miss a couple games. If you are healthy, you're going to come back in and you're going to do what you're going to do. So, you know, I think Vic Fangio is always a little clandestine or a little squirrely at the podium, and, you know, he doesn't want to give away everything all the time. And, you know, I was more concerned with his comments on Aaron Lynch's touchdown celebration. I don't know why everybody was so up in arms, clutching their pearls over that man just celebrating a sack.
Because you only get two pumps, Z-Pac. That's we learned this on Key and Peele.
Okay.
You only get two. When you go for the third one, that's when they throw the flag. So it's just two pumps, and then you're out.
He's a 60-year-old man. He's going to be embarrassed by that.
You know, it's Hingle McCringleberry. You know, it's a shout-out there.
It's gamesmanship, right? I mean, that's all this is. I mean, this is a lot to do about nothing. I'm thrilled he's back. I think he should have had 3 weeks off. I said he shouldn't play against the Patriots, and I got laughed out of the room for suggesting that. Then all of a sudden, the next
week, not a habit.
It became a thing. Then all of a sudden, it was the narrative for the week that he should sit. Oh, sit him. And then when I mentioned it a week before, it was, oh, what a dumbass. You know, we gotta play every game. You gotta win it. So whatever. Listen, he's going to be fine. He's going to be just fine. I just hope he's not dropping back into coverage. I can't stand when these guys drop back into coverage. It drives me absolutely bananas. But even as much as I don't like Leonard Floyd, and that's well documented, get after the quarterback, especially Matthew Stafford. The guy's a statue. You know how hard it is to sack a quarterback 10 times in a game? And I'm not talking about high school football. 10 times Matthew Stafford got sacked last week in an NFL football game. It's crazy. So, of course, this is going to be fantastic. This is like must-see TV.
Some of those were the Lions sacking themselves. I mean, the wide receiver on one route.
Terrible, right.
Wasn't even there. I mean, there was a lot of self-inflicted wounds there.
Everybody's posture was great, though.
Well played, sir. This segment is being brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing.
So to answer the question is premature. If you ask me 3 or 4 months from now, I'd be in a much better position to answer that question.
He's in no position now. Fired last week.
What is your pick on the Bears game?
Give me the Bears in this game because I just think that they're a better team than the Lions. What gives me some pause, and it's a historical fact that shouldn't matter, is the way that the Bears have struggled over the last 5 years against the Lions. This is a new group of Bears, so I shouldn't hold that against them. So I'm looking at what I've seen so far through 8 games. I think the Bears are better than the Lions, so I'm going to take the Bears to win the
game. Score?
Bears 27, Lions 17.
Oh, that's pretty close. Bears are going to win this game. I think that there are a lot of reasons they could lose it. I think there's a lot of reasons to believe the Lions will, you know, play better than they did against the Vikings. Matthew Stafford is 10-6 against the Bears' lifetime. This is not somebody to take lightly because of his talent. He is inconsistent. He will throw you the ball. You got a Northern Illinois receiver, Galladay, who's having quite a year and has off to a pretty good start in his NFL career. They have Kerryon Johnson. They have a lot of factors and players that could get rolling. I still think this defense is too good if you're the Bears. 27-19 Bears.
If my pick is wrong, do I have to wear lingerie on Michigan Avenue?
Oh, God, please,
I thought
no.
We agreed to not speak about that during please. The hours of 5 to 9.
I can never unsee that.
And that's just not a 32-inch waist, by the way. That's not a 32-inch waist.
Oh, my God.
Justin's been waiting for that. He's given the opening. He's ready. Speaking of waiting for, we've been waiting for some division play finally for the first time since week one. Listen, you think you're a contender, not a pretender? Prove it. Get some division victory. Since Lovie Smith left, they are 6-25 in the North. They've been terrible against the Lions, and the Lions have not been a juggernaut in this division. These games are usually close. 7 of the last 10 decided by 6 points or fewer. I think the Bears win by a score of 23-20, but if you're going to the window, I would say Detroit +6.5.
And Joe knows. I mean, Joe breaks this stuff down. His record's pretty good. I've been following on the podcast. He's how many units would you put on the Bears, Joe? A half a unit?
You mean on the Lions?
I mean on the Lions.
I feel pretty good about the Lions. I could be, you know.
Half a unit? Full unit?
That's full unit.
All right.
I feel pretty good about the Lions. Famous last words from Joe Ostrowski right there. I have no faith in this Lions team right now. I think they've pretty much already quit on their head coach, and he looks like he's starting to crack, you know, taking these little shots at reporters during his press conferences. They traded one of their best players. I don't think that sat well.
Did you feel like that was a white flag? Because it felt that way to me.
I think it was. I mean, it's hard to construe it any other way. I mean, that's your number one whiteout in what's supposed to be, you know, a high-flying, passing-based offense, and you move Golden Tate because you're penny-pinching and you don't want to pay the guy. So The Lions are a loser franchise. They will continue to be a loser franchise on Sunday. Bears have been much better at home than they have been on the road. I think the Bears win it 24-14.
24-14 is a good score. Was it the Tampa game that was like the biggest game the Bears have played
yes.
at home in forever? Okay, this is the biggest game the Bears have played at home in a long, long time, in my opinion.
Then next week's going to be the same thing, if that's the case.
Yep.
If they win this one, then you're going to say
right.
that next
and
week.
That's
or
the goal,
even
right?
if they lose.
Right. If
Maybe
they lose,
more so if they lose.
Right. And everybody's on the – I mean, there was no way they were going to lose to the Dolphins. Brock Osweiler was the quarterback, right? I mean, was that all about the humidity? Or is it, did the Dolphins win or did the humidity win? What was the? I'm just worried. We don't have time right now, but David, I want you to tell us why you think what you see that makes you think the Lions could win. I don't see anything that makes you think the Lions could win this game if they play it smart. If they don't get cute, they don't turn the ball. I mean, turnovers is the only way you lose this game. But it's not going to be easy. I see it like 23-17, Bears.
Okay.
This is a big question, okay? You ready for that?
I'll let you know if it's big.
What do you make of the Bryce Harper sign spotted in the United Center LED screens? Are the White Sox more likely to make a big splash in free agency or a modest one like Michael Brantley?
I think that's the White Sox doing the due diligence, as they say. I think that if they are serious about making an appeal to Bryce Harper and Scott Boras, say, hey, come to Chicago, come to the other side of town, come help us be, you know, relevant again, help us sell tickets and drive ratings and all of these things. They're maybe making a pitch video. That's the only thing I can figure out. I don't think they're trolling anybody. I think they're serious about pursuing Bryce Harper. They have every reason to be all in on him and try to get as much traction with Harper or Machado. But, and it's a big but here, I think they're going to ultimately be more likely to make one of those kind of, okay, those are blockbuster signings. The next level of that is maybe the Michael Brantley type deals. I just see them being more likely to do something, pull something like that off than to stun the baseball world and bring Bryce Harper to Chicago. I think they're serious about their intentions. I just don't know that I totally believe in their ability to pull it off.
Let's look at the evidence, Mr. Haw. And Mr. Okay. Zpac, you can back me up on this. Was Bryce Harper wearing a Bulls hat on his Instagram?
Confirmed, yes.
And now you have that.
He's the ultimate troll job.
It's confirmed he is coming to the White Sox. How dare you?
He is taking Lawrence Holmes' your heart and putting it around his little finger there.
No,
he's wrapping you.
Here's what I think. I think the White Sox are being used if they are going to go after Bryce Harper. I don't think that he would sign here. But I will tell you this. If he were to sign with the White Sox, it would be huge. There would be a buzz. There would be people who would buy season ticket packages based on the fact that Bryce Harper is going to be there every day playing games, hitting dingers, flipping his hair, the whole nine yards. People would love it. I just feel like they have to do it. They have to approach this like they have a chance. They have to take their shot. I just don't see it happening. And I hope that I'm wrong because I would love to be on the score talking about Bryce Harper being on the South
Side.
What
would side. That do to you, the Sox fan, in terms of your timetable and expectations?
It would tell me that they think that in the next couple years they're going to be ready. All I know is I saw Lou Bob in Arizona Fall League hit a ball that made a sound that
you
I
didn't
haven't
see
heard.
It. Yeah, you heard him hit
yeah,
a ball.
You
yeah.
heard it out of Sloan Park. So, yes, confirm. Harper to the White Sox. Let's go.
This means very, very little. It means the White Sox.
What a kill!
It means the White Sox are prepared, right? They're prepared for a rollout. Hey,
big step for the White Sox
to be prepared.
Absolutely.
Okay. And just because you may want to make a big splash doesn't mean you're going to be able to make a big splash. But it does tell you that. Wow. Okay. They're not shutting this down after Bryce Harper turns down $300 million because you know what it's going to take. It's either going to take somewhere around $350, maybe $400 million, or you get extremely creative, give him early opt-outs, come to the South Side. Bryce, if you do this, We know the salaries keep going up in this sport, especially for position players. If you do this, you have early opt-outs, and you can get two mega contracts. That's something other teams are not offering. In the end, I think we're talking about multiple modest moves, including a starting pitcher and a position player.
Do you realize that Bryce Harper has a dog named Wrigley and grew up with Chris Bryant? Confirm.
I have not heard that before.
Bryce Harper to the Cubs. Confirm. Confirm.
You know, just seeing the faux LED that they had on the grainy little Twitter photo, Bryce Harper 34, the White Sox logo, I started to feel things on the inside, which is not a normal occurrence.
You're not used
for
to
me.
Feeling things, Kevin.
No,
that's a very strange
it's
sensation.
It's very, very rare.
Did you have to take a nap?
No, I didn't have to take it. I sat down for a little bit. Okay. I got a little woozy. But I just imagine how that pitch goes from the White Sox brass to Bryce Harper. It's like, Bryce, imagine this in front of 8,000 screaming fans at Guaranteed Rate Field. Oh, God. Can you imagine?
He's used to it.
Yeah, well, that's true. I think, Joe, I think you're spot on here. I think in lieu of, you know, a 13-year Giancarlo Stanton-style contract, it will be something with the ability to opt out after a couple years. That's what Jason Hayward wanted to do when he signed his big deal with the Cubs. Everybody thought, well, Mike, this is crazy. He's going to opt out in 3 years. Why would you put that in there? Meanwhile, he stunk for the past three seasons, and yeah, I think he's going to opt back into that contract. So I think that's the new thing for the players, to have a little bit more flexibility to be able to get out of a contract and get another huge payday after a few years. In regards to Michael Brantley specifically, because he's mentioned here, I mean, he's a player I've always liked a lot on Cleveland, but he's been injured quite a bit. I'm not really sure at his age either if that's the right piece here. Although, I mean, hell, they could use any outfielders after the guys they were trotting out there last season. So good for the White Sox for trying to get in on this, and they have the money. If they're willing to spend it, then perhaps they could make a splash here in free agency. Bryce Harper, no Bryce Harper. It's nice to see them just sitting at the table for once.
Well, let's work backwards. Michael Brantley doesn't sell one ticket, right? I mean,
He said he did.
Why are they talking to him?
Because he's a good baseball player.
They're not trying to sell tickets
nobody
by talking
nobody
to
said
Brantley.
Anybody, my
the
point
draw
is
the craft cave, Dustin.
To Lauren, yeah, listen, I'll go to the craft cave. I mean,
I've dropped so much money there, they should be able to sign Machado and Harper.
You've got your own bar stool there? They're doing their due diligence, right? This is what they have to do. They're playing baseball in a big boy city, and they're supposed to be a big boy team. This is what big boy teams do, right? The Cubs famously, right, when they recruited John Lester, had this whole video package that you always hear about, and you'll hear about later on when there's another, you know, what if I told you? One of those kind of stories on John Lester, right? Absolutely. They're doing their thing. Do I expect it to happen? No, I think Manny Machado is more likely, to be honest. I think that is what would actually get a fan base more even excited than Bryce Harper over 35th.
I'm good with that, too. And I'll just say that Machado having a little bit of edge and having a little bit of what some people think is a bad guy thing plays really well with the White Sox
there's
fan base.
There's bad guy, then there's Absolutely. Lazy guy.
I agree, but there's also 905 OPS guy, and I'm good with that.
I think it's way too early to answer that question.
Why is Theo Epstein allowing so much uncertainty to fester around the Cubs?
I am not sure about this. It's been fascinating over the last couple of days to hear some of the stuff, whether it's Theo or Jed, talking about the coaching staff. And we still don't quite know who's in control of the coaching staff. And I'll ask this question of the four of you. Whose guy was Chili Davis? Because there's an argument for he was Joe's guy. There's an argument that he was Theo's guy. So I don't know. Like, it's kind of murky.
I thought he was the available guy who was probably more Joe's guy than Theo's guy.
But remember, they had worked with him in Boston. Yeah. I mean,
But the Boston connection is the only thing that would link you there. So there was that assumption. But everything that Chili was about was not backed by Theo, right?
It was all Joe. Just,
yeah, his philosophy and everything. Yeah, that was all Joe. What was Joe doing almost every single week, yelling about launch angle?
Which is silly. Because you know what really like bothered me about that, Joe, is that it's not a new concept. Ted Williams was talking about this in the 70s, and he was doing it in the 40s and 50s. So I really, and Joe's a student of the game and a student of history. It really bugged me when he was trying to kind of down talk that as something that was newfangled, when really it's way older of a process than new.
Join coach Chris Collins and the Northwestern Wildcats at New Welsh Ryan Arena this winter. Season and single game tickets on sale now at nusports.com. You know, I've been very surprised at the way the Cubs have handled this offseason so far, because I don't think, and I've said this on different occasions, Theo Epstein doesn't really say anything accidentally. And they manage perception as well as any franchise in town, including the Blackhawks. And I think that they're sort of the masters of managing perception. So far this offseason, the Cubs really haven't done a good job. Or maybe this is by design, but if it is by design, you're going to believe this. Perception is reality. The Cubs ran off their hitting coach. They don't have much confidence in Joe Maddon because he's going to be a lame duck in 2019. They don't know if they support their pitching coach, who's dangling in the wind, because Jim Hickey, Theo Epstein, can't comment on the future of Jim Hickey, because if he can't, who can?
Who knows?
And oh, by the way, Jim, and Cubs fans, the Cubs are out of money, so they can't spend because they are short on cash. And that's what the whispers have been coming out of the GM meetings.
With Bryce Harper and Manny Machado now free agents.
Right. So all those thoughts independently. Oh, and by the way, I think he also says today in Paul Sullivan's Tribune column, there are no untouchables on this roster. Oh, really? Really? So I don't understand why they have allowed some of these perceptions to kind of run without being, you know, checked, because they could nip a lot of these things, a lot of these perceptions. They could cut them off and correct them and make it so we understand exactly what's going on here. Right now, it looks like organized chaos.
Nice job, you guys, getting Jim Hickey fired. Nice job, Mully and Hall show.
To the list.
Nice job.
This is foreign territory. This is the opposite of how Theo's handled his business.
Isn't it?
Since he got here. Yes. The only thing I can come up with is the reason is because the coaches and manager are on a completely different page than the front office. And they've told you so publicly, too, just connecting the dots. Even if you don't have any inside source, just look at what they're saying publicly. You can see they are not on the same page at all. I mean, this season ended 5 weeks ago. They still don't know what's going on. They know what's going on. Once he said, I can't comment on that, you know Jim Hickey's gone, right? I'm kind of surprised with all of this going on that they're locked in on Joe Maddon returning. I really am. With all this, it feels like chaos going on there. But are there arguments going on behind the scenes and trying to show who's in control?
Do you think that
what strategy is going to be used? I don't know.
You know, Theo talked about the urgency, not wanting to be complacent. Anxiety creates urgency. Could this be by design? I mean, I just thinking out loud, I don't know if that giving him too much credit for that, because this is totally creating a sense of uncertainty that is, as you say, very untypical of him.
But he's also, as far as Joe goes, he's on the last year of the contract anyways, so that should probably be there. They said, yeah, we're going to have you come back as the lame duck manager. But yeah, it's tough to figure out.
It's a little weird. The whole Cubs coaching carousel that has kind of gone on since they won the World Series, just it baffles me, because you would think that you would like to maintain a little continuity after winning a World Series in such a dominant fashion, not so much in that seven-game series, but, you know, the Cubs were start to finish the best team in baseball that year. Nobody really touched them, and offensively and pitching-wise, they were just at that level, you know, far and above everybody else. And then they have 1 year where they still make it to the NLCS, but things aren't exactly copacetic in the mind of Theo and Jed, apparently. So they bring in Chile. They bring in Jim Hickey. Chile's gone now after 1 year. That one you can kind of get behind a little bit. Apparently there was a philosophical difference, and the offense did plummet in the second half of the season. But I think Jim Hickey did a pretty solid job. The Cubs, pitching-wise, in the second half particularly, were very good. I don't think it's Jim Hickey's fault that Tyler Chatwood couldn't find home plate. It's not his fault that Yu Darvish got injured. I don't think you put that on Jim Hickey. I don't think it's Jim Hickey's fault that Joe Maddon burned out the bullpen in July either. I don't think you put that on Jim Hickey. So very, very weird here. You would think that Theo, for as smart as he is and as successful as he has been, would be able to corral this a little bit better and have more certainty with what's going on in terms of his coaching positions. But very, very weird here for the Cubs. Weird offseason already for the Cubs with, you know, flipping out the hitting coach and the speculation around Madden and do we have money? Do we not have money? What's going on here financially? It's just very, very weird time for the Cubs right now.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's very un-Cub-like. It's very not what we've gotten used to.
It's Cub-like pre-Theo.
Right.
Nobody knows
Correct. What's
going on.
Yeah. Right, exactly. That's a good point, Kevin. Believe it or not, you made a good point this morning.
Once in a while.
Once every once in a while. Blind squirrel finds a newt. it could be gamesmanship on the money front. That it could be that's what's going on. Smokescreen, oh, the poor Cubs, we spent so much money. You, Darvish, we can't make that mistake again, so we're not involved with anything. I don't think I want to buy that. I don't get the Jim Hickey thing unless this is players on their way out talking about the fact that they just never got to know the guy and the hitters had their say.
Who would that be? Well, like, you mean in the players' exit interviews?
Yeah,
the pitching
exit interviews. I mean, there was a thing, and again, remember, the Cubs pitching in the beginning of the season was not good, right? The hitting was carrying the Cubs to the record
yeah.
that they had. And who was arguably the Cubs' ace last year?
Last year?
Lester.
John Lester.
Lester and, okay, 1A we'll say.
Cole Hamels?
You love Cole Hamels.
That's pretty good.
I would say
Kyle Hendricks.
I would say Kyle.
Okay.
I would say
okay,
Kyle Hendricks.
Hendricks okay? Second half
now,
of the season.
Now, supposedly Kyle Hendricks and Chris Bosio were like really tight, really really tight. And there was speculation that the guy who was going to be most affected by the loss of Chris Bosio was Kyle Hendricks. And who struggled in the beginning last year? It was Kyle Hendricks, right? Who's the best, most controllable pitcher the Cubs have.
Kyle Hendricks is not getting people fired.
Yeah, I don't feel like
I'm
Kyle Hendricks is pouring gasoline on stuff.
He might have not said things that lead to the fact that I don't think the Cubs are firing Jim Hickey. They're letting him explore other opportunities, David. There's a difference, right?
I think that Dustin's right. I think that they're waiting on him to take another job.
What's a better job than this job?
Why would you leave? Why would you leave?
Because you're being told that if you don't leave, they will help you leave.
Right.
And plus, is Madden coming back? I mean, do you go somewhere and get – I mean, right, all these hitting coaches, pitching coaches have two-year deals. So basically he's got a one-year deal right now. Go somewhere else, get a two-year deal, right?
There's a great bite that the Midday Show played a couple days ago with Wilson Contreras.
Yeah, we played that yesterday.
Talking about Jim Hickey.
Yeah.
That is radio gold right
or not anymore, talking right? about Jim Hickey.
Facts.
We have to clear all our audio with Bernstein first and foremost, actually.
Now. He's not here today, so.
Oh, thank God.
Run it.
Dustin, great question.
Will Ian Book's absence hurt Notre Dame, and can Northwestern upset Iowa?
I don't think it's going to hurt Notre Dame. I think Ian Book, tough kid. Boy, you saw the play where he allegedly got injured against Northwestern. It was in the first quarter.
And ribs, right?
Ribs, and he winced and he walked back to the sidelines. And I have a lot of respect for Ian Book because you didn't know in that game that he was injured, and he played hurt, and he played well. And I think this is a guy in the second half against Northwestern that reminded you why he has been so good for Notre Dame this year. Still, Florida State is not the Florida State team we're used to seeing. They've taken a step backward this year. I think that Notre Dame will, you know, their offense may not function as efficiently with Brandon Wimbush, but I think the Brandon Wimbush will not be overwhelmed by the moment. You're not going to see a classic like 25 years ago, the game of the century, Notre Dame 31-24 over Florida State. I was there, big game. But I think Notre Dame will prevail with Wimbush. As for Northwestern, every time you start to believe in Northwestern, they disappoint you. So I'm going to go into this weekend as the opposite, and I'm going to expect nothing out of the Wildcats. I think they're going to get beat at Iowa, and I'll be pleasantly surprised when they come back and win.
I shouldn't be shocked considering some of the things that you've written about Fitz over the last few weeks, Hall. I see what you're doing. You're setting yourself up as the heel to Northwestern football. Maybe you need to be nicer to Northwestern. Perhaps you shouldn't. You shouldn't take out that.
Nobody in this town is nice to Northwestern. Nobody.
Okay.
I see that you're coming for Fitz. Don't you come for Fitz in this town,
I'm a Fitz guy. I'm a longtime Fitz guy.
Fitz guy. I agree with you. It's weird to talk about how Florida State doesn't have a lot of talent, but they don't have a lot of talent right now. And Brother Willie is not doing well down there in Tallahassee. They're going to try to get him up out of there.
He's struggling.
So give me Notre Dame, even with the injury to Book. So what? You're replacing him with a four-star running quarterback instead of a four-star passing quarterback. The same thing's going to happen. Notre Dame's going to out-talent Florida State, and it's not going to be pretty. As far as Northwestern, I'm going to go opposite. And I understand exactly where you're coming from. Every time that we turn our attention to Northwestern, that's when it's like, oh, we're let down. Not this time.
Not this time.
Not this. Hopefully not this time. Give me Northwestern against Iowa.
Major downgrade from Book to Wimbush. Major downgrade. Brian Kelly gave him a shot. First three games, and what happened? The offense averaged 23 points per game. You had the tough defense first week of the year. But, man, I mean, Ball State, come on. Come on.
Wow.
Come on.
but since Book has been the starting quarterback, they've averaged 16 more points per game. He was 75% complete compared to Wimbush, 55% last year. He was below 50%. Wimbush had two total touchdowns those first three games. Book has had 19. It was a game changer when he was put in at quarterback. And you thought, okay, now they can be in the playoff. They could run the table with this guy and the way the schedule was lining up. And Vegas said it as a one-point downgrade. I strongly disagree with that. The mentality is going to be, look, we're third. They told us, the committee told us, we just have to win out and we're locked in. We are in the playoff. That's all we have to do. So I think it's going to be about survive and advance the last game of the season at South Bend. So I think it hurts them, but they're not going to lose to this Florida State team. It's going to be closer than it would have been if Book was out there. Northwestern, Iowa, a surprise to see the point spread was 10 when it came out. I think Northwestern keeps it closer, but Iowa, Kinnick, they're a tough team. They're a top 10 defense in the country, number 5 against the rush in the country. Iowa's going to beat them, but Northwestern's going to hang in.
I'm pretty much with Joe here. The Notre Dame offense was very unimpressive. I don't want to say they struggled against Ball State, but they weren't exactly moving the ball.
They struggled against Ball State.
Well, you can say
they struggled.
Of course, you're always carrying
State.
Water for Ball State.
That's right.
That's kind of your MO. And then they weren't
in Whitlock.
They weren't great against Vandy.
His teammate.
That's right.
So I think the offense will struggle. Luckily for Notre Dame, they have enough talent elsewhere. And Florida State is a little pathetic this year. The game is in South Bend, I believe. That's going to be a big advantage for them as well. So I don't think it's going to be, you know, upset city or anything like that. Notre Dame will win, but maybe a little bit tighter than it would have been. And I do think Northwestern lays an egg this week, and I think Iowa is going to stomp all over them.
I can confirm that the game is in South Bend. I'm happy about it. I just don't get how Florida State got to this point. How did they get so bad? I mean, who what kid wouldn't want to go play in Florida and play at Florida State? I mean, this game used to be such a big deal. I remember exactly where I was when this game happened. I remember exactly where I was when Boston College beat them the next week, and I'm lucky that I didn't get arrested after that game. Let's put it that way. I expect Notre Dame to win, but not by much. I really don't. And, you know, Northwestern, Iowa, it's very hard to figure them out, right? I mean, Wanstead has told us the two best teams in the Big Ten are Iowa and Michigan, but Iowa didn't play very well last week. Right, they didn't have a great game, and Northwestern, they didn't lay down for Notre Dame. They played really hard. They tried to make that a game, a really close, good game in the second half.
For a team looking ahead to Iowa, right, yeah, they played pretty well.
If that was the narrative that you were believing in, so Iowa could blow them out. I don't think Northwestern could win. I expect Northwestern to keep it within the double digits, though, for sure.
All right, what did Vic Fangio have to gain by admitting Khalil Mack wasn't where he needed to be for the Sunday's Lions game? What do you expect from Mack? What's your Bears pick? What do you make of the Bryce Harper sign spot at the United Center LED screens saying he's number 34 for the White Sox? Why is Theo Epstein allowing so much uncertainty to fester around the Cubs? And will Ian Book's absence hurt Notre Dame? And what about Northwestern and Iowa? That's our 5 at 5. Let us know what you think. 312-644-6767. We'll come back and talk. Lawrence Holmes is in for Mully and Mully and Haw on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.